Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 113, part 2, Evil Bees Are Swarming. Today is Sunday, September 6th, 2009. Thank you for joining the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of September in Minnesota is absolutely perfect. How can that be? Every month in Minnesota is perfect. Well, because every month is just a little bit different than the last, and they all have such great qualities. September is so nice because it starts to turn cool in the evening, but you have beautiful sunshine, and it's just so nice during the day. So it's the very end, really, of summer in Minnesota. And so we just start to change and kind of get ready for the fall, and the leaves start to drop at the end of the month. We start off in Minnesota, Labor Day celebration. The state fair is over. The state fair is incredible. It's always the beginning at the end of August and the beginning of September. So we kick off September with the end of the state fair, the great Minnesota get together. And then I had to kind of ponder a little bit about Labor Day, and some of the things that came to my mind were Love's Labor's Lost. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes. It has nothing to do with Pastor Paul's messages, just a play that Pastor Paul and I went to see at the Shakespearean Festival in Winona, Minnesota. We go every year. This was our sixth year. We've been going each year for 6 years. And it's just an incredible festival. And if you do get to Minnesota and you're able to go to Winona, it is fantastic. Love's Labor's Lost, our play for September. And then I thought about Moms and Babies, labor. So I have a link to Dr. Fernand Lamaze, a book I carried around with me for 9 months while I was anticipating labor with my daughter Jade. Be sure to check that out. And then Labor Day, of course, I have a link there. And then finally, the best link of all is to Ecclesiastes, the preacher. In Ecclesiastes, he talks about human wisdom, education, power, servants, wealth, pleasure, religion, temperance, the length of days. And his final conclusion is that all is vanity and a chasing after wind, and nothing brings satisfaction. You know that song, I can't get no satisfaction. All of that brings us to the grave. But whoever lives for any other purpose other than the glory of God is doomed to disappointment. God and his will are the highest good for any who want the best in life and desire the highest possible achievement. I'm going to get on with a couple quick announcements and we'll get right into the message. Pastor Paul's messages this month, there are 4 of them. We start out with Evil Bees Are Swarming, and then Are You Walking With a Wound in Your Side? 2 Loaves, Eros, and Agape. Let Us Look Upon the Faithful. Those are the messages in September. And also, you know, we're coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Be sure to call us if you need groceries, if you're living in a household of 2 or more, a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof. Call us Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. So be sure to call us. The link will be in the show notes. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find all kinds of links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, Twitter, just all kinds of social media. Get involved in our community online. You can also email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org. I will leave links to Love's Labor's Lost, Dr. Fernand Lamaze, Labor Day in Minnesota, Ecclesiastes, the preacher, and scripture links are always in the show notes. Be sure to have a great month of September. Come to see us in Minnesota. God bless you.
When a swarm of bees attack a man, they are about, above, abroad, betwixt, between, be nigh, under, across, around. They are stinging every part of his body. And as I was getting ready for this, even this morning when it came to me, and I woke up with a heaviness in my heart, God showed me the bee swarms. And the reason that I was laying on the floor doubled up in that ball was that the sins were there, and those were, I was getting bitten by all those past sins they were trying to defeat, if you will. No, when the conscience wakes up to the whole hive of our sins, we find ourselves compassed about with innumerable sins. Sins when we're eating at the table and the sins are there. Sit down, we're just going to have a little something to eat, and we go to cut our steak or something, and an evil thought comes in. Instead of cutting at the steak, you're cutting off somebody's head. And goes back to when you were working, or something that someone did to you, or something that you think someone might do to you. So sin is there when you're trying to eat. It almost chokes the food you eat. Then you go to work and sin goes with you there, and you can't stand anybody in the place. Oh, God, let me out of here. I hate these people. They're heathens. So sin follows you there. You come home and you go to bed and sin follows you there. You go into the restroom and sin follows you there. There's no privacy anywhere. Sin just comes jumping in wherever. Oh, God. Sins in the pews and sins. I never try to sit in church and not have a sin thought. How many are hearing this? And all of a sudden you're sitting in church and you have sin thoughts. Man, you just feel nasty. God, if anybody could read my mind right now and they knew the thoughts I had. Oh, praise God, there's nobody that can read your mind. If something was brought forth in a message, it's the Holy Spirit, and the person doesn't know a thing about it. And if they ever do get into that, you know what? It's of the devil. Say amen, somebody. And furthermore, I wouldn't want to read anybody's minds. I have enough problems with my own, praise God. Now, I know this ain't popular, preachers. You're all listening on the radio all the time, trying to pick apart something, but my God, you're suffering the very same ailments everybody else is. Until you face those things, until God gives you a revelation, the light, the beam of light comes in, you see all the dust you didn't think was there. But because of that light, you find there's a whole lot of specks of dust dancing around and frolicking around in there. Now, that just shows that it was always there, but God's light is revealing things. That's all it is. But David said of his enemies, "They are compassed about me. They're all over me. God, help me. They're all over. They're bothering my body and my soul and my spirit. Sins of my eye and sins of my lip and of my hand and of my foot. Sins everywhere and anywhere. Sins." You know what? As you're looking at David, stop yelling. Stop yelling for David to look up. He cannot hear you. Your particular David. The one that you want to say, "Look up, look up." They can't hear you. They're concerned with their sin swarm. Have you ever tried to reach someone who's concerned with their sin swarm and the Holy Spirit is working on them? And you say, "Look up, look up, look up, look up." It's like they don't hear you. You can talk to them, but you're talking to a horde of bees. And they agree with you and they say, "And then the Lord showed me this, and the Lord showed me that." They don't even hear you. they do not hear you. They are completely engulfed with bees, swarms of them. And all these sins are around them, and they're listening, and they say, yeah, they're way out there someplace. They don't hear the message, and they don't hear the talk, and they don't hear anything. All they can hear is the bees swarming. Ooh, God. Oh, it's a horrible discovery when it seems to a man that as if sin is as present with him as his God is. Of course, that is impossible because God is omnipresent. Sin isn't. Evil can't be. But it's so many of those sins, and they're so loud, and they're so yelling, and they're so buzzing. Seems like it. Praise God for the scripture, wherever good is, evil is always present. And that shows there's good there. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Isn't that comforting to know when there's a whole lot of hell going on, even in a whorehouse? Evil. Good is present. Someone has to pick it up and do it. But it's there. To know to do good and not to do it, therein is evil. Ooh, how many are hearing this message? Oh, God. Oh, God. Our whole life seems to be tainted from the first responsible moment until now. What's a responsible moment? When you know the word no-no. When you're barely able to hold your head up. And you, mama says, no-no, don't put your hand in the coffee cup. And you wait, and you wait, and you finally, you go ahead and do it. And you just disregard that no-no. Isn't that right? And before that was some. Say amen. From that very first moment, you know, no-no, don't do it, and you do it. And there's sin even in our holy things. Because we only have half a heart upon the altars of God. Oh, what a shock it is to the heart that's been awakened to see that it is even so. Innumerable evils have encompassed about me. But that's not all. This man is so beset with sin that it seems to hold him in a terrible grip. I can always tell a person when they're coming out of sin. When the Holy Spirit is dealing with them, they'll come with a confession, something like this. My lust or my anger, it just seems like it comes to me and it overwhelms me. I want it to be cast out of my life. What casts that out? The ray of light. Your deliverance is at hand when you see what's there by the ray of light and you look up. Which, of course, you will not do when you're really encompassed with sin, swarms of bees, sins. You won't look up. You haven't learned that yet to look up. Oh, God. Oh, even in the holy things. But this grip, it says, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. The swarms have landed on me. Zip, zip, zip. And they got a hold of me now. Ow! Have you ever felt this? Like you have no control anymore? They got a hold of you. You lose control? And listen on the radio. Don't be looking at your husband or your wife. This is for you. Say amen. And they grab a hold. Of course, it could be true it's for them, but it's for you too. And they grab a hold of you, and you had no control. I hope so, because you can't really be delivered from it if you've never felt its grip. Till it's really got a hold of you. Then you'll cry out, "Oh God, help me!" You can't be delivered until it gets a hold of you. Till it grabs a hold of you, and that's the only way you're going to look up. When you're down and you're pinned, and you're on the mat, and you have to look up because it's got a hold on you. Oh God, if you can hear this message, you listening on the radio, there's suffering with these swarms of sins. Suffering and half crazy. When I was first saved, oh golly. Ooh. How wonderful it was. I thought, oh, how free I feel. Oh, I'm so free. Why are people so nasty and so hateful? And then I caught all kinds of people in sins. Uh-oh, looky there, tisk, tisk, tisk. And I caught them in lies, and I would shake my head, how awful, oh God, these people. Oh Lord, if they only had what I have, and what I have become to be. Oh, because of you, of course. As an afterthought. And one day I told a little lie about something, a simple thing. No one found out. But it haunted me and haunted me and haunted me and haunted me. And the result was I finally confessed it. But you know what the real prize was? The prize was is that I became aware of many more sins because I was humbled in that one sin. Now God had my attention. I was looking at my sin nature, and I could find no way out. And then while I was busy looking at this one, I was really going to deal with it. I said, "Oh, promise God, I'm going to deal with this one. This is no good. I will never, ever, ever, ever lie again. I'll never lie again. Oh, God. Oh, the sound of all those bees. Oh, God. The awareness of our sins and hear it good, will drive us to Jesus Christ and the blood and the forgiveness and the total atonement message. And I hope someone listening will get peace from this message. You right now, and I'll say it, yes, you're there. You've been thinking about turning the gas on and poking your head in there. Don't you do it. Don't you go driving no car off into an abutment there. Don't you do it. You got to get your swarms. You got to turn to the Lord, I'm telling you, to look up. And I know you won't do it, but I'm telling you anyway. But also, here is a bewildered soul. You ever been bewildered? Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. Now, that's a bewildered person that doesn't know that it has to look up to find help. You ever seen someone that's lost and they're bewildered? You ever go to one of these places out here and the shopping things, and you get out and you can't find your car, and you're trying to act like you know where it's at, and you, huh? They're bewildered. Someone stole my car. I know it. And you found out you didn't drive your regular car; you drove your wife's car. What did you have to do? You had to call for help. You had to say, "God, help me, I'm lost. I'm bewildered," but you had to look where? Up. A bewildered person doesn't know where to look. They're so busy with all the swarms and the noise and they're bewildered and they're being bit all over by all these sins. They don't know. They look kind of crazy. They are crazy. That's why they look that way. I hope you're getting peace off of this, you listening? Whose conscience is tearing at you? Who's surrounded with sins, whose bees of sins are swarming in a mad frenzy, and the more you beat and the more you try to do away with them, the madder they get? Not able to look up. The only place that he should look is up, and they won't do it. Why? They are ashamed, and they are miserable, and they feel condemned, and they don't want to talk to anybody, and they don't want to tell anybody, because see, they've been a Christian for 10 years, or 10 weeks, or 10 days, and people have told them, oh my, you're only 2 weeks old in the Lord, and they puff up people. Oh God, preacher, don't you puff up a novice. Don't you do that. Don't you send them off pulpiting. Don't you send them off to the highways and to byways too soon. My God, the swarms of bees are going to find them out there. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Puffeth up not a novice. Don't do it till they have seen their deliverance. Say amen, somebody. Don't put them behind the pulpit until they have seen the fire of God. You young preachers, I hope you're hearing this message. By God, I hope you hear it good. Don't despair. Look up. Your redemption's coming. But I'm so ashamed. I remember when I was a little boy and I had done something to my dad and I was so ashamed. He had three silver dollars. He loved silver dollars, so he had boxes and boxes of silver dollars. My dad was no poor man. He had all these silver dollars, all in these boxes. And one day he was rolling these things across his fingers. You know how they do that? Kind of a, I don't know what it is. Some sort of a little trick, and I got fascinated by those silver dollars. And he says, well, you want to try that? And I took the silver dollars, and I put them in my pocket, and I put my hand in there so they wouldn't rattle, and I thought, God, he forgot about those silver dollars. I'll keep them. I put my hand in there, and I held these silver dollars and everything. My dad never hit me, never. My mother would beat me to death, but my dad... I needed it, though. Praise God for the windmill. And I put my hand on these silver dollars, and I was trying to keep them real quiet. And, oh, I can remember the feeling of guilt. They were hot in my pants. And, I thought, oh, I wonder if he knows. I wonder if he'll find out. Oh, and it just got so bad. Finally, it was about 2 hours later, and I said, Dad, I got these silver dollars. My dad knew then that I was contemplating stealing those silver dollars. I couldn't even look at them. I remember I had these silver dollars. I was guilty. I couldn't move. I was transfixed in guilt. I was chained. And I couldn't look no place. And I wouldn't look up. I couldn't. That's where I should have looked, right? It's a, I'm really sorry. I was going to steal them silver dollars. Will you forgive me? I couldn't do it. I was so ashamed. I just looked down and I looked around. I looked at my feet and I looked at my hands and I chewed my nail and I picked at my leg and I didn't know what to do. That's how we are when we don't look on to God for help. When we're in real trouble and our swarms of our sins are all around us. That's the last place we're going to look is up. Isn't it? Oh. See, we've got to learn we have a loving Father, don't we? But also means he is unable to excuse himself. Oh, he used to be so funny. He used to be the con. He used to be the... He used to lie with the very best of them. Are you hearing this? Never bothered him. He used to say, "What God? There's no God." But now he knows better. And how. See, the Lord can knock all such folly right out of us. Just one little prick in our conscience can do the whole thing. And the boaster is brought down to his knees. Now he knows there is a God. He doesn't try to look up now and justify himself or blame someone else or say, that's their swarm. All he can do is hang his head and murmur, "Guilty, guilty, guilty." But also a man that's in bewilderment will not read God's promises. They close the Bible. They can't do it. People call me and they say, "I've done this or that." Well, I say, "There's a promise for you." But they won't receive it. They'll say, "Oh, that sounds real good. Thank you." And then they'll call another preacher, and they'll call another person, and they'll call their mother-in-law, and they'll call whoever, and oh my, they will not receive it. The swarms are too great. Whew. You can read every scripture of release and of total pardon, and they'll say, "It doesn't apply to me. I still don't feel good." See, the swarm of sin bees have their attention, and your calm voice is not relating. They can't relate to your calm voice. "It says in the scriptures, so and so." And they're standing there, and they need more than you're quoting. And you're calmly inside of a window, inside of a house, relating to them. "Yes, you see, promise so-and-so, and here's my promise book," and you put it out there, and it doesn't mean one single thing to them when the swarm of bees are upon them and the Holy Ghost is working a work upon them. They are not going to receive, and they will not look up. No, they won't. Don't ask me why that is, but I know it in my own life. But if this is you today, if you're suffering under this affliction, you today, I still say, look up! Look up, for God's sakes, look up and break the window down and jump out there and grab that person by the neck and throw them on the ground and say, "Now look up! I will enter into your grief. But you gotta look up. I will enter into your fear, but you gotta look up. I'm gonna look up." It's like the staff held up in the wilderness. That's your salvation and that's your freedom, so that you won't perish. Look up. Because if you don't look up, brother, and you don't look up, sister, you make the blood covenant of Jesus Christ of none effect. You gotta look up. You're sinning even worse by not looking up. Look up. God is greater than your sin. Perhaps then we might try the testimony of some others or some testimony from a book to set the person free. He will not look up. He will not look to the cross. Are you this person today? Should I give up? Are your sins a hold of you and you can't look up? Let me close it. Next, we notice a very fainting soul. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Do you ever have your heart fail you? when you just feel so weak and you feel so down and you've been fighting the swarms of bees in your bed at night and they won't go away. You get out of bed and you go to work. You put up with a day's work and you go home and you drive your car home. Why, I told a person one day, I said, aren't you the man that came in here and prophesied great things? Aren't you the man that came in here and sang loudly and had all kinds of counsel and was zealous for God and had all of the answers? And aren't you the one that despised those openly, those poor weeping ones and those that needed help, and you put more legalism upon their heads so that the swarms even got madder and more bolder? And the ones that would not look up upon God's promises, didn't you say, look on the promise of God, look on the promise, didn't you? But now you are crying out, my heart faileth me. Brother, you are now in the school of the Holy Ghost, and praise God for it. You're going to feel dead. You're going to feel wiped out, and you dare not hope, and you start to feel unsaved. I'm talking to you, preacher. You argue with yourself and you quote every hard scripture to yourself. But fear starts working on you now. Good. You keep right on walking down that road, the way, the parade of life. Keep right on going. It'll pass. Now you are ready to receive without your strength. Walk on. But look up while you're walking on. Keep on looking up. When we're without strength, God died, it says, for the ungodly. You know what that means? Ungodly, get that word real good. Godly person. Ungodly, it means there's none of God in you. None yet. You despise God, the Bible says. You're at enmity with God. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. And the carnal mind is a legal mind. And that carnal mind hates God because it's making him do things. And they don't want to do them. But he's going to do them anyway. He's the elder son that stays out of the feast. Now lastly, let's look at this man one more time. We have here a soul beset, a soul bewildered, a soul fainting. But now we're going to look at a soul pleading. Oh God, I remember that day when I pleaded to the Lord. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up, and my heart faileth me. Oh, listen, Lord, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. I recognize it now, God. I've seen it before in a smaller way, but I surrender. Oh my God. And I want you all to say it good and loud. I am what? Well, I heard someone just say right off the radio, I would plead with God, but I don't know how. I don't know how to go to God. Did you ever, when you were a child and you went to your dad, did you ever know how to go to your dad? You found out, didn't you? Now, say one of your kids comes to you and they say, now here, Dad, listen up what I'm going to say to you. Loosen up. I need $20. I need it right now. What effect would that have on you? What effect would that have on you if your little kid said that to you? Would you give him the 20 bucks? No? Right. That's a good answer. That's exactly what you should say is no. Or the son that comes up, now, Dad, I know you have come to realize what a great kid I am. Loyal, trustworthy, loving, kind, and so knowing all this, I find it hard to believe that you don't know in your own spirit that you cannot deny this request. Now, how would you answer such a son? What would you say to such a son, Jim? Would you say yes to a request? Huh? No, you couldn't say yes to it. No, I mean, that's the way people pray, though. That's the thoughts that are in their hearts when they go to their Heavenly Father. Oh, yes, it is. Or, Dad, I claim by faith, I trusted in you. I wanted you to give me a new car. You know how great my faith is in you. I know you can do it. Let's have it now. Isn't that the kind of preaching we're hearing? They'll fill and pack audiences out with that kind of preaching. Amway preaching. Doc Shackles. How would you answer, how would you answer your son if he asked for that Corey? How would you answer him? Would you tell him yes or no? No. You may say, you've got a lot to learn, sonny boy. Go on out in the world and get your stings. That's the same way the Heavenly Father answers. You don't recognize you're a sinner yet. Okay. Just let your sin swarm you for a while. Oh, let's see how you can take it now, sonny boy. Or maybe the son comes up, oh, Father, I should be very grateful to you if you would give me $20. You know what I want to buy? I would like to buy a radio. And Father, is there anything you want me to do for you? But now with this request, I add, let your will be done. I'd like to have it, but let your will be done. Isn't that the type of preaching that should be going out over the pulpit? Isn't that the way you want your own children to treat you and to ask you? Don't you think that a lot of times that we hear people that are asking amiss? They don't hit the target. They miss the target. They ask amiss. And so we must ask aright and not amiss. We must keep it simple, and we don't have to go into a whole lot of explaining. Make haste, O Jehovah, to deliver me. I am surrounded by swarms of sins like bees. They are attacking me all over. Help me and help me now. I know what you say is true. I am a sinner. Help me right now. Thank you, Lord. I want help to come now. I need your help. Thank you for it. I believe in you for it. Keep it simple. And go into a whole lot of apologies, and Father, you know how my heart feels towards you and all this, and these swarms that are around me, they're actually a lot of the swarms that are coming over my way. It's because I was in the wrong church, or it's because of where I work, Lord, and there's such filth and degradation there, or it's because of my husband, or it's because of my wife, Lord, and you know how hard it is. These swarms, I'm just getting sick of working around other people's swarms and getting bit by their sin. God doesn't want to hear all that. We don't want to hear all that. Well, what has today's message taught us then? You plead with urgency. God will come swiftly. But see, today's message has brought us all to this very point of pleading. And in the meantime, what has it done for us? We've learned a whole lot about ourselves. We've learned about God's mercy. We've learned about God's grace. We've learned about God's having us to be humble. The Bible says we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happens? Now, Linda, you'll know a little bit about this. All them little stingers that are stuck in you, what have they done? They fall off. And what has happened? You are immune. You don't get bit by it again. When it comes again, you're immune to it. You have built up an immunity. Greater is he that is within you than he that's of the world. Now you become immune to it because you have gone to the Holy Ghost school. You found out that all these bees, and God says everything is working together for good, even them old sins and them old bees that turn them around. We finally come to realize that there is no good thing in us saving the Lord Jesus Christ. We finally see no man after the flesh, and of course, ourselves. And at last, we look at the last dying kicks of self, and it just leaves us to truthfully say, it is no longer I that live, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. These stings and these things that made me immune, they have built up an immunity in me. They have caused that greaterness in me, Jesus Christ, to set me free. That's the way it is. If you're going to go through these things, I hope that it helps you. If you're in the things right now, I hope it helps you to get through them. But there's a whole lot of people in here who know exactly what I'm talking about, didn't know exactly what was happening to them. That's what's happening to him. God allows things, and just look onto the wonderful Lord, and don't be, you know, judging one another or nothing else. It's just going to all pass by anyway. Jesus, I thank you for today, and I thank you for these people. I thank you for the radio audience, and I thank you for each person in here and all them suffering souls out there who didn't know what was happening to them. My God, let them know that you are in charge, that you care, and that you love beyond their sin. Oh, so much greater. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Remember that, Lord, to have the people. Also, Lord, we know that you have given us the incorruptible seed they cannot be entered into. Jesus, right now, there's a falling and a passing away of this flesh for the greater glory of God to rebound to the riches, it says, of all much more rich. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, right now, thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Now, is there anybody in here that doesn't have Jesus as a... So if you tear a tear...